Yeah, today is the 26th of April, 2018, it's a Thursday, so we are now preparing for Puja. Let us compose our mind, develop the faith, sadha, then virya, then mindfully we shall commence the Puja. Arahang sama sambuto bhagava Buddhang bhagavantang abhivademi. Swakato bhagavata dhammo dhammang namasami. Supatipanno bhagavato sakkasangho sanghang namami. Okay, you can be seated. Then turn to page 1. Oh, you can offer the color. No need, hang over the Buddha. It's okay, one. Won't stay, no, la. We all every week or so would. Yeah, won't stay, no, la. Just hang it. It's good to garland it. Oh, never mind, one. It won't stay, no. It will draw. My wife has put there for so long. He normally next day take down, so no issue. Have to tie a bit, I think. Never mind. Long enough. Or tie a bit. Sadhu. Let us rejoice with the offering of the garland. Sadhu. 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 Okay. Then we turn to page 1 of the chanting book. We will chant the Vandana. Namo atassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Namo atassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Namo atassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Buddhang saranang gacchami, dhammang saranang gacchami, sanghang saranang gacchami. Dutiyampi buddhang saranang gacchami, dutiyampi dhammang sarana gacchami, dutiyampi sanghang sarana gacchami, tatiyampi buddhang sarana gacchami, tatiyampi dhammang sarana gacchami, tatiyampi sanghang saranang gacchami. Panatipata viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Adinadana viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Kamesu micacara viravani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Musavada viravani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Surameraya majjhapavadatana viravani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Now we are Chandapadipa Puja, offering of light. Ganna sarappa dithena dipena tamadang sina diloka dipang sambuddhang Pujayami tamonudang ganda sambarayutena dopenahang suganghina pujaye pujaniyang tang puja bhajanamutamang vanna ganda gunopetang etang kasuma santatin pujayami munindasa siri pada sarorohe pujemi buddhang kasumena nena punnena matena cha hotu mokang Pupang mila yati yata idang me kayo tata yati vinasa bhavang adivase tuno bante paniyang parikapitang anukampang upadaya patikan hatu mutamang Adivase tuno bante pale parikapitang anukampang upadaya patikan hatu mutamang Adivase tuno bante bojanang parikapitang Anukampang upadaya patigan hatu mutamang. Now we are chanting the puja aspiration based on our understanding of the various puja offerings. Understanding the significance of offering of light to the Buddha. May these offerings of light to the Buddha bring forth the causes and conditions to illuminate our mind and help arise the needed clarity and understanding to dispel all darkness or ignorance therein. Significance of offering of water. May this offering of pure, clear, cool water lead us to the pure, clear Dhamma that cools and causes off the fires of all defilements our mind. Significance of offering of incense. May my morality, virtue, and understanding shine forth far and wide, just like the fragrance of this incense which we are offering to the Blessed One, who is perfect in wisdom and virtue. Significance of offering of fruits. May this offering of fruits remind us of the Dana Parami of generosity and the fruit of our karma, so that we will diligently strive on with heedfulness to attain the path and fruition soon as possible. Significance of offering of flowers. May this constant offering of flowers to the Blessed One strengthen our faith and constantly remind us of the impermanence of this body, so that we will diligently and sincerely strive on to cultivate sila, samadhi, and panya, leading to ultimate liberation, the bond-free nibbana. Making of overall aspiration. By the power of all these merits born of these offerings, may our spiritual faculties of sadha, virya, sati, samadhi, and panya be further strengthened until they become balas or powers, sharing and transferring merits to all beings. May these merits be shared and transferred to all beings without exception, especially to those who have the affection and affinity to receive them. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, let us pay respect, Tripa Jam. Buddhang Pujayami. Dhammang Pujayami. Sanghang Pujayami. Okay, you all can be seated. We can off the light, eh? Then we can have half an hour of meditation. Hmm. So you just relax body and mind, maintain some form of awareness, eh? Then we can start our meditation. Okay, I will ring the bell after about 30 minutes. Hmm. You just relax body and mind, yeah? Completely relax. Then just allow whatever that arises to arise, whether it's your thinking or your mental defilements or even your mental hindrance, just be aware, let it arise. Make sure you have a relaxed body and mind and maintain the silent mind. Just relax, silent everything. Then the awareness will be aware. Whatever is aware, just let it be. Thought arise, let it be. You can be aware of specific thought, it will be better than just allow it to continue to slow down. If you don't give it any more thought energy, any more meaning, this thinking will slow down. But it may take a while because you are not used to it. As long as you do not react or stir your mind with aversion or dislike, then there will be no mental hindrance to hinder your mind from entering the meditative state of inner peace, inner calmness, and inner awareness. Then not long, when this thinking starts to slow down until it's completely quiet, then your awareness will become clear to you. It will just manifest on its own. So this is the third way, where the Buddha advised the monk. He said, just by relaxing body and mind and maintain the awareness, the mind will return to its original state of stillness or silent within. Then when you understand that all this mental activity and movement, they are not intrinsic to your true mind. They are dependent originating condition arising. They arise because you don't have a stable mindfulness, and you also don't have a stable fine spiritual faculty, and because of that mental hindrance come to be. So all this understanding will come to you. Okay. Oh, it's okay. Let them come in. Yeah, it's okay, you can sit anywhere. They are starting their meditation. If you know how to meditate, you can also join. Anywhere in front, the cushion is for you. Yeah, yes. Yeah. You can take out your purse or whatever, or your handphone. Yes? Oh, okay. Oh, okay. Yeah, you're most welcome. Join us. I have set the alarm, so in about half an hour or 1 hour, ring. You just relax body and mind and silence everything. Then see how it goes. See whether your mind will calm down by itself or not. Just relax body and mind, silence everything. Okay. For those who still wants to meditate, you can continue. For those who have now, slowly, mindfully, come out of the meditation. Try to maintain whatever inner peace, inner calmness, and inner mindfulness that you have developed for as long as you can. Okay, now we will turn to page 6. I will translate, read to you the English translation, then I will get Ing Bia to lead us in the chanting of the Pali. Invocation to the Devas. In this universe, in the entirety, let the deities and devas come here. Let them hear the good teaching of the King of Sages, which gives heaven a release, Nibbana. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching.
Samanta
Chakravalisu Atra Gacchanta Devata Sadhammam Munirajasa Sunantu Sakamo Atta Purisa Pugala Esa bhagavato sakkasango ahoneyo pahoneyo dakkheneyo anjayi karaneyo anuttarang punyakhetang lokasati。Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, let us pay respect to Pajama. Bhutang Pajami. Dhammang Pajami.Sanghang Pujami. Okay, you can be seated. Just relax yourself, body and mind. Then maintain some form of attention. Then we will continue with our second session. Second session is meditation reporting, followed by whatever.Question you have regarding the teaching, the meditation, and also how you can apply what you learn here to help you understand life and also overcome whatever life problem you may have. What is Eric's friend's name? Wen Chen. So you're most welcome, Wen Chen. Okay.Sorry about what happened, because when you came in, they just started meditation. So I can't explain much thing to you. Before we continue, we just want to find out from you. You know how to meditate before this? You meditate before? Oh, good. What type of meditation? A long time ago when you were young. Oh, okay. You joined the BJF. Yeah. Oh, okay. Never mind. At least you are exposed to some of this. So you are familiar with the Buddhist teaching. Oh, still not familiar. Okay. You don't really have much understanding, but you joined the activity. Their Dharma camp and all those things. Their Dharma camp is quite interesting. For the youth. So you sing some Buddhist hymn? Buddhist song? Oh, don't have, huh? Oh, suffering world. Don't have. Oh, okay. Yeah, happy world and other things. Then the other one is, Buddha merely showed the way.We ourselves must walk the path. Buddha merely showed the way. Don't have, So these are some of the Buddhist hymns, but maybe now they have modified it. Last time they have a lot of this. They talk about the consciousness only passes by. There is no one to die. No one die and no one don't know what I really am. Oh, life never die. Thank you. Life never die. Although we live in the what else? I remember there's one part. Only the consciousness shall pass us by. And something like that. So I still remember during the early day. But some of this, the wording are quite soothing and also very meaningful. It brings forth the Buddhist teaching in quite a clear manner. Okay, at least you have been through Dharma camp. How many days was it? 3 days.Over the weekend, most of the time. So you interact with all the university students, remember? They were invited from all the university. then you gather together. My daughter also went for a few of this camp during the early days. Good, at least you got some exposure to the Buddhist teaching. So what we do here is the Thursday class is actually a meditation come reporting. Then in the reporting, I will share the teaching, the Dhamma, so that people can develop the training of the mind through the meditation. Then after that, use the mind that is trained to cultivate, to develop the wisdom. But the Q&A, we call it the question and answer session, together with the reporting of meditation, will give me the condition to share the important essential Dhamma of the Buddha. So when you understand the essential Dhamma, it's easy for you to put it to practice, to cultivate, to develop the training of the mind, to meditate. After you've got condition, I will explain them. Okay, anybody who wants to... I got question, very good, Sadhu. Thank you. So we save time. Thank you, Kiat Hun. Okay, I think it's a good question. The concept of self, or the entity of a me and a I, that this form is not me, means physical form or physical body. How do one break the label called self with the egoic mind, the self-delusion? Okay, very good question. So for most Buddhists, you heard of this word, non-self. The meaning is very deep, but I don't think most Buddhists understand what the Buddha meant by anatta. There are two words. One of the Pali word is anatta. So they always translate it as non-self. Non-self. But the meaning is actually much deeper than that. So anatta is not only non-self. Non-self plus. Not a permanent, unchanging entity. Unchanging. Entity. Oh, okay. No, no, non, N-O-N. Oh, okay. Okay, thank you. Yeah. I think this one, the ink is not much more. Never mind. We will get Padma Suri to fill it up later on. So this arrow I have to remove. Yeah, this arrow was for something else. And the Buddha say, because it is not a permanent unchanging entity, that's why this human being, they call it the human being, so the Buddha said the human being or our five aggregate of form and mind is anatta. Anatta means you cannot call it the I and the me, the permanent self, the entity. Because this is a delusion, the Buddha said. Because this so-called characteristic of non-self, the meaning is very deep. So the Buddha said, this human being is not a permanent, unchanging entity that you can call, this is me, this is I, therefore all this can be mine. The reason being, because the Buddha said, this human being is conditioned arising. So this one is condition arising. So, condition arising means dependent on condition it arises. Without condition, nothing arises. So when condition comes to be, the human being comes to be. So the three conditions that brings about the arising of a human being or a living being is, take for example the human being. First of all, you need the sperm and the ovum to have conception. Then you need the life force or the consciousness to come in. When these three conditions comes to be, then there is a living being. In our case, it's a human being. So the fetus is formed. So this human being starts from a fetus. So sperm and ovum, the conception of it lead to the beginning of this development of the fetus. So the cell starts to subdivide. Then over a period of don't know how many weeks, the organ or the what they call the senses and the organ will start to develop. So initially it gets its food from the mother, the placenta and all those things. Because the heartbeat of the mother gives the life force. Then later on the consciousness goes in. Then it has its own life force. It has its own consciousness. So the consciousness together with the physical aspect, the Buddha call it the form and the mind. So this human being, which is condition arising, has a physical form. Physical form plus a mind. This mind is the consciousness. And because of this, it can animate into a human being. When the baby is born, the fetus is born, so the consciousness that is inside will start to learn from basic consciousness. And that time, the memory is more or less blank. There is nothing except the brain cells and all those things. Then the mother or the parent or the guardian, whoever who take care of the baby or children, they will teach these children. Or this teacher, this children, this child, when it's born, they will learn from the environment and whoever that teach them. So the conditioning start, their brain become more and more sophisticated. So the Buddha said, this entity, the physical form together with the mind, is not a permanent unchanging entity. That's why he said you must not be deceived by it, because these are sustained by condition. Dependent on condition, they arise. So when condition continue to manifest, it will continue to exist. So the sustenance of it is the continuation of that condition that supports it. So the three conditions are the physical form together with the senses, and the consciousness, which is the mind, together with the life force. There's a life force. Plus life force. And this one we also call it the karmic force. The life force or the karmic force. Sometimes they call it the supportive karma. So this supportive karma, they will come as a life force to cause the heart to beat. You understand? So as long as these three things are in proper condition, then this human being will, like real, exist, animate into a human being. When any of these three conditions is gone, the human being will cease to be. Let's say the life force, the karmic force, stop. They call it destructive karma. Then the heart cannot beat. the doctor will pronounce you medically dead. Then when that happens, this heartbeat, which actually sends the blood through your whole of your organism to nourish all the organs, to maintain the physical body, then your breathing will take in the prajna. Prajna is a type of breath energy. So they can draw energy from nature. They can draw energy using the breath, prajna, they call it. So sometimes that oxygen that you need, then that exchange of oxygen and carbon dioxide, then this oxygen actually nourishes the blood, and it sends this blood through the organ to nourish the organ. Then it sustains the physical form. Then the consciousness, which is already inside you since birth until now, this is your bundle of memory, accumulation of memory or whatever. Yeah? So the human consciousness that is trapped inside is a bundle of memories of your views, your opinion, your conditioning, and your whatever accumulated experiences in life. It can be your fear, your phobia, your worry, your anxiety, or your whatever belief system, views and opinion and all those things. So this one molds you. So this consciousness is the mind. Yeah? We call it the mind. So this mind got two. Yeah? We call it the consciousness. There are two aspects to it. When it becomes the consciousness, we call that the mundane mind, the thinking mind, the worldly mind. So that part makes you conscious. During the daytime, when you become conscious, that is your mundane mind. But when you silence this mundane mind, then you can connect within and realize the true mind, the silent mind. That one is another aspect of mind. But this form of mind can connect you back to your true mind. So meditation is to understand this, then silence this mind and realize the true mind. Then the true mind can develop the meditation, the wisdom, the awakening. So basically, this is the secret of meditation. Then this life force depends on your karmic force, your karma. If your karma is such, you're not supposed to die yet. So this karmic force will continue to beat. But sometimes, just like a candle, you know what is a candle, right? Maybe I use a red pen, So let's say this is your candle. Yeah? You got your wick inside. Then there is a flame. Okay? So this flame lighted up and together with this candle is like it's alive and it's not up. It continues to burn. So this flame also ever changing. Yeah? But then this flame, the lifespan of this flame depends on what? Depend on the condition, isn't it? What are the conditions? You need to have the wax. Yeah? Wax. Then, how to spell the wick? Yeah? Is it? Correct? Wicked one? Yeah? The word wicked? Wick. Why they say this one wicked? This is wick? Wicker is W-E. K-E-D. K-E-T, wicker. Okay. Then you need the light, isn't it? Or we call it the flame. So these three conditions, when they come together, If they are functioning, the candle will light up, isn't it? So the lighting up of the candle is like, this one is alive, you understand? I want to give you this example so that you can understand the human being easier. Understand that? So, this human being, you have the consciousness. This one is the consciousness. Then this one is the physical body. It's the physical body. Then you have the life force, which is the third one. And this one comes in through nature. There is a third one. We call it the life force. How to draw? From here it goes in. To beat the heart. Okay. So similarly, this candle, it will light as long as these three are in working condition. Okay. So when you have a candle that is of this length, then as you burn, if the flame is not too strong, the wax will melt slower. Agree or not? But sometimes the wax is not manufactured properly. You understand? Very fast one. It melts very fast one. So you cannot say, I got this length, I will live longer. No. It depends on your DNA. What wax is it? Then sometimes the wax may have what they call problem. So the wick burn halfway, it cannot burn, no. You experience this candle before, then the flame just go off. Because contamination in the wax. Or sometimes the wick is not properly manufactured. Then there is problem. And then this candle also will not burn the full length. So there are many ways how this flame can just go off. You understand? So when the flame goes off, the candle, you see, is like no longer burning. Means it's like the human being die already. You see, die. Yeah. The other way is when there is a wind that come and blow off this candle like flame, then also this candle cannot sustain itself. Means this one can happen anytime. So these three things, they are the one that sustain the candle's life. They call it the condition required for it to exist. Any of these with problem is gone. So the human being is the same. When the flame is blown off, it means what? Destructive karma come. So destructive karma, the karmic force supposed to come, switch off. Understand? Because your karmic force, this is the one that sustain the life force, that give life to this physical body and mind. The moment the karmic force destructive come, means it's time for you to die. You got no more karmic force. So this one will switch off. The heart will not beat. Then this consciousness will separate and you call it dead. Then this human being cannot function. So this one is like the candle flame suddenly blown off. You understand? The other one is the physical body. Let's say you got disease. The vital organ start to fail. Then the important organ fail. Like liver cancer, lung cancer, brain stroke and all those things, or whatever. So when the physical body has disease, or through accident, the organ get destroyed, sometimes it's brain dead and all those things, then this one will cause the what they call the life force inside, the consciousness inside, to leave the body. But this physical body now, after the disease and accident, cannot be in the normal condition to support consciousness. It's just like when the vital organ of liver fail. What happened? Liver perform a lot of function in there. So if the organ fail, the whole system doesn't last. It will die. Then likewise, your lung fail also same. Yeah. Your brain, if serious damage, you also cannot function. So they call it brain dead and all those things. The other one is this consciousness, yeah, because the life force is no more, this consciousness also cannot stay in the physical body because there is nothing to nourish the organ. So this consciousness will come out. So when this consciousness come out, separate from the physical form, this physical form will go the way of nature. That's why it will decay. The water element, at first is the wind element, your breath, stop. Then the water element, then you have your earth element, they will all collapse. Yeah. Then after that, you will have what they call the you have the fire element also gone. So initially is the wind element followed by the fire element. Yeah. Fire element means temperature. It will start to drop. Then it becomes cold because there is no more activity inside there to sustain the heat. Then after that, the physical form also will fail, collapse. Then the water all moves out. Then they will return to nature. That's why this one come from nature. It will return to nature. That's why the Buddha asks us to contemplate the physical body. This body of ours is of the nature to get sick, get old, and one day die. Because they are just element. They go the way of nature. It cannot be otherwise. This consciousness is energy, never die. So this one will leave and come out. And this is the one that will become the random of consciousness that come out. But during the death moment, when this form and mind die, they call that the death consciousness. At the moment of death, the rebirth consciousness is immediate, taken place, depending on your last thought moment. Then after that, this consciousness that is trapped inside, the craving force, they bind it to the body, the physical body, they will start to dissipate. And most people without mindfulness, they cannot see this. And this one happened very fast. But if you have mindfulness, you can see it happening. That's why you know how to die. And you will not die. Yeah. Then this whole thing becomes very clear. Then how it come out. Yeah. Then before you die, if you have the mindfulness, the karmic consciousness will not take over. But if you don't have the mindfulness, you don't cultivate to have the ability, what happens is most people, when they want to die, about to die, the karmic consciousness take over. So that few days before that, sometimes it's the last 24 hours, but for some people, a few days before that, the karmic consciousness take over, and they are not conscious. They don't know what is happening. Because karma is the one that decide. That's why they will hallucinate. It's like they hallucinate. They not actually hallucinate. It's the karmic consciousness through the subconscious. Then whatever they see is because their vibration has dropped to that level. Means they are going to take birth within that rhyme of vibration or consciousness. So sometimes they can see this peta or non-human and all those things. Then sometimes they see their relative, pass away relative, and all those things. Yeah, your vibration has reached that level. So this is how this entity, which we call the human being, function. I have to explain the condition behind. That's why it is called condition arising. And because it's dependent on condition, all these three are the condition required. So that's the reason why the Buddha said this is not a permanent, unchanging entity that you can call the I or the me. So this one is non-self or not a permanent, unchanging entity. No need the word plus any. And because it's non-self, it's not a permanent, unchanging entity, hence the Buddha said, condition arising. Where do I write? Huh? Okay, because it's non-self, it's impermanent. So this impermanent characteristic is automatic because it's come from this one, condition arising. Because it's condition arising, it's impermanent. And because it's impermanent, it's not a permanent, unchanging entity. So this one actually come back to this one. So now I repeat. Hopefully you can understand. This human being, because it's condition arising, that's why it's impermanent. Depending on condition, it change. When condition is there, it arise, exists. When condition continue to support, then it's like it is real. It sustains itself. But when any of the conditions cease to be, this human being cease to be. That's the reason why the Buddha said this is impermanent. Where it's dependent on condition. When condition is there, it arises. When condition ceases to be, it ceases to be. That's how Asaji, when he mentioned this, which was what the Buddha taught to Sariputta, Sariputta immediately became a Sotapan. Where he told Sariputta, he said, what my teacher teaches is very simple. He said, whatever that arises, there are causes and conditions behind. And these causes and condition is already explained to us. So, take for example, the Buddha said whatever. So, the first example is your own human being, form and mind. That's why immediately Sariputta awakened. So, if this human being is the entity that the Buddha talked about, whatever that arises, there are causes and condition behind. So, this is condition arising. That's why the moment Asaji told him that, he know already, this is not real. Because it's condition arising, it's not a permanent unchanging entity. Because dependent on condition, it arises. When condition ceases to be, it ceases to be. That's why it's impermanent, and because of that, it's not a permanent unchanging entity. Hence, non-self, anatta, not me. Then because it is anatta, it's also empty nature, understand not? Yeah, all these are dependent originating, condition arising, causal phenomena, not real. When condition comes to be, it arises. When condition ceases to be, it ceases. So how real can it be? The coming and the going, all depending on condition. And there is no being inside there. There is nothing. That's why the Mahayana, they say, when you come to this world, lai ye kong. When you die, you also go empty-handed. Then in between, why do you grieve over emptiness? Do you understand? Well, all these are condition arising, activity of the human being. And that is what life is all about. That's why it's not real. So your question is, how do you break this self-delusion? You have to meditate to understand. But what I tell you is just theory, understand? Theory, you try to use knowledge to remember. Like the last Tuesday class, I think that New Zealand Sue, insect Sue, those who listen to the tape, they don't know. I told them, wisdom, you have means you have. You don't have means you don't have. And wisdom is not like knowledge. You cannot try to remember and keep it in your brain or your memory. Then she came forward and asked another question. She said, Bratio, cannot keep in the memory means keep in the subconscious. She asked me that. Then I had to explain to her. I said, no. It's not like that. You don't try to remember anything. Well, this wisdom is an awakening. The moment you awaken through meditation, you understand it's with the form and mind. You cannot get lost. That one is always there. Unless the form and mind die, then the wisdom connected to it will will disappear with it. That's why every light you come, what you need to do is you need to meditate to understand that this is not you. Then cease the mundane mind. This mundane mind, cease it. Then connect to your true mind. Then you will understand what the Buddha meant. So when you connect to the true mind, which is the pure awareness, without anything, you cannot describe, no word, nothing. That thing is just the pure nature, the pure mind, the true mind. It's the gateway to your nature. So this one, when you understand, you will develop the wisdom, the awakening. Then you will understand the three characteristics. Because it's impermanent, it follows nature's law, especially the law of karma, the law of mind, condition, law of condition, dependent originating, or the dwelling, the condition arising phenomenon. That's why it's just a phenomenal world of consciousness arise and pass away. But this form of mind is actually a combination that can trigger off consciousness. But this physical body, you got the senses, the six senses, the five physical senses and the mind. Then upon contact, they can arise consciousness. So the whole of the human being or the existence of this form and mind is to develop the arising and passing away of consciousness. That's why it's a world of consciousness. Condition arising, dependent originating. That's why the phenomenal world is a world of consciousness. It's just consciousness. Come and go, arising and pass away. So no reality. You need to meditate until you understand this. Then it's no more theory. Then you no need to know all this. That's how your daily mindfulness will allow you to understand this. Then you will come to realize through the meditation when you're silent everything, where everything ceases to be, who are you? Who are you? When your mundane mind also ceases to be, when there is no thought, nothing. There is just a nature, an awareness nature. Then later on when the human being or the living being realize enlightenment, nirvana, even the pure awareness also ceases to be. So this entity comes from mind. That's why the Buddha say mind is the forerunner of all things. Mind is chief. When mind arises, everything arises. The mundane mind, the egoic mind all arise. That's why this consciousness is the greatest magician. You can follow. Can follow. This is the theory part. Cultivation means you cultivate the mind. You train the mind. Yeah, this mind got two. I told you already. The mundane, which is the thinking mind, or the mundane mind, which is still with delusion. That's why it's a tool for you to come to this world, for you to use. So you use it to live life, to meditate, to connect back to your true mind. So to understand this, you must meditate. You understand? That's why you have to train your mind to be heedful. To be heedful means what? Definition of heedfulness is what? Ever mindful to cultivate Noble Eightfold Path. So to be ever mindful, you have to train this mind to be just mindful first. Let's stabilize it. You understand? The moment it's mindful, without thought, you are already with the true mind. That's why all meditation starts with the true mind. That's why Hui Ning's teaching is very simple. The three great hallmark of Hui Ning's teaching is, first hallmark is what? No thought means aware, mindful. Understand? That's why you train your mind to be aware, to be mindful. Then when you realize that, then you realize the thinking mind, the mundane mind, is not real. It's dependent originating, condition arising, because I have the senses. That's why upon contact, then you see dependent on the senses, there is contact. Dependent on contact, there is consciousness. Then dependent on consciousness, there is this content of consciousness that went in. When you see all this, then you realize, hey, this is not me. The moment the mind is silent, without thought, no creation, who is there inside there? No word, no concept, nothing. That's why you will come to this realization that this is not real. Then the physical body you know, make of element, how can it be you? Do you understand? Don't try to use your thought to understand. Just understand that you have to meditate. To have to meditate, you have to train your mind, okay? First is to train it to be heedful. To be heedful is ever mindful. That's why you train your mind to be mindful first. What is mindfulness? Aware before the who know? Awareness before the knowing. Who know? Like you look at that picture, that poster. You look. The moment you perceive what that thing is, you are no longer aware. Do you understand? When you are aware, it's like the baby sitting as they are. No word, no concept, nothing. Silent. Just conscious. That's why the Buddha said, in the seeing, it's just the... We're automatic, understand? Like the physics experiment. You on the switch, the light bulb lights up. Means you become conscious. Here, conscious of what you see. But there is no one to see. It's just the consciousness arise. But human beings' delusion is the moment it arises, your brain, your memory immediately stir and react and perceive. That's how the mundane mind come about. Then your views, your opinion, your conditioning all go in.
Isn't that called learning?
You learn with what? Yeah, use this one. You repeat your question. Isn't that called learning? They want to hear your voice.
I'm just trying to connect the self. Yeah. But if we can remove the self, then we remove the suffering.
That's why you use knowledge to try to remove the self. That's why I say you cannot do it. You are like Sue in the Tuesday class. Yeah. But don't worry. You set the condition for Dhamma to flow, for people to develop understanding.
But you say when we see, it's awareness before knowing. Okay, awareness before knowing. Awareness before knowing. So you see.
I say mindfulness is awareness before the knowing. I never say that seeing is awareness before. I say when you are mindful, means when you are aware without thought, what is happening? When there is no thought to interpret this thing, means no words, no concept, no idea, nothing, understand not? Just like a baby. Baby, no memory there, no conditioning there.
In the worldly sense, how does that apply? Sorry.
I'm not trying. Don't try to use your knowledge to go beyond that. Understand what I try to tell you first. When a baby see, how do they see? Your baby got no memory, no conditioning. Nobody teach that baby anything. You remember after they open their rabbit eye? No. That's why you all never observe. You must observe. I observe so many. I saw my own children. At first, there is no connection, no cognition. Understand? You know why no cognition? Yeah, it takes time for them to learn how to focus, understand? The baby. Then after a few weeks, then you will see, they will start to move around the head already. Initially, it's like open, close, sleep, cry, and all those things. Right? Then later on, you see the baby's eye, very bright one, because the baby are very cute. And they don't have cunningness, don't have any views, opinion. Then they look, everything to them is so pristine, so beautiful. So just the way it is. No word, nothing. That's how a baby see. But then later when you teach him thing, gone already. Oh, cup. Orange. Milk. Papa, mama. The brain deposit all this. Then they don't see things as they are. Like this microphone, where you assume the word is the thing. You understand? You know what is assuming the word is the thing. Where you don't want to see. Microphone, what is there to see? Like when they say, who is she? Kek hun wa? Do you think they observe you? They aware of you? When they are aware of you, that kek hun is not the word, no. Understand? Like this microphone, when you are fully aware, you can see everything. You understand everything, not the word. The direct see. This whole thing, no word. Then when people ask you, you can recollect. Yeah, that microphone, black color. Got this, got that. Then got to push for it to activate and all things. You will recollect and recall. Well, you are mindful of this whole thing. But when you are not mindful, I ask you, what do you see? You cannot tell me. Yeah. When you are mindful, that detail inside there you see. But when you label it as a plant, when the word come out, the concept come out, you never see already. But you are not observant, understand? You are not aware of this whole thing. The awareness of the whole thing is you really aware as it is, not the word. I am not teaching how to see. Because that one cannot. You have to develop the training of the mind, the meditation, the awareness, until the awareness by itself see that thing. And the person who see will understand. Just like the Buddha said, this Dhamma Ipacetang can be realized by the wise, each for themselves. So you try to use your thought, try to remember what I say, and try to learn to see that way, you can never see. Yeah, that learning is from the thought. The thought try to learn. That's why you ask me, is this learning? You know? This is not learning. When you are mindful and aware, the true learning is there. And that's all. Means, you train your mind to have the direct seeing, then you awaken to the truth. Then it's not a knowledge. Whatever you learn through the thought is a knowledge. You understand? That's why you use word, you use concept. You say, what's wrong with seeing that way? You understand? Your question is, what's wrong with seeing with the perception, isn't it?
The basic of learning in school, that we see and then we remember, and then the child memorizes it as a picture. But now you're telling me to see and...
I'm not telling you to see, I'm telling you to meditate to realize. Understand? You see the difference. You have to develop the daily mindful until one day your mind suddenly become like that. Understand? It's just aware. Why must you get involved? But you cannot do it because your mindfulness is not stable.
So just say we take Buddhism from the very basic of a little child that never has gone through the same methodology of thinking like us. And start from young and...
Cannot.
We don't give them that...
No, it's the same. Because if you don't teach them all these things, they cannot relate to life. Understand?
Yeah, this is what I'm trying to say.
You listen. The real awakening and meditation is when you have all this memory and rubbish inside there, and yet you can see things as they are with the mindfulness. That is the real meditative awakening. Understand now? When all this memory, this knowledge, everything is there, with the conditioning, everything, then you aware. And when you aware, you realize this is not real. These are all memory. And what is memory? Accumulation of all your experiences, good and bad. So these are all your fear, your worry, your anxiety, your phobia, your sorrow, your lamentation, your whatever happy moment also. Understand? No? When you meditate, your peaceful moment, your calm moment, tranquility still. Whatever you experience, good or bad. And this is just memory, understand? No? And when they become memory, if you attach to it, through accumulating it in your brain and give it meaning, then what happens? You create thought. Because thought is respond to memory. Where is the word? I rub off already. Huh? Thought is respond to memory. Huh? Right hand side. Ah, yes. Oh, yeah, put another color, otherwise you cannot see. This one is very important. Huh? So when you accumulate all this, then thought is respond to memory. That's why you think a lot. But you worry about all this. That's why not. My children, how? Their problem not resolved yet. Then when you got problem with your health problem, trigger of fear and worry. Ayo, the doctor say must do a biopsy. What happens if the result is positive? Not the reality yet, no, but the thought project. No. Then there is fear, there is insecurity, there is sadness. Want to smile also cannot. Then when that day you go and take the test, oh, I tell you, you are stressed out like anything. Then when the sample taken, they say 1 week's time your result come out. I tell you, that week you cannot sleep. You become miserable. Very good, normal. The Buddha say, wait, the Buddha say, all these are wrong thought. Without wisdom, this thought will become wrong thought. And this thought brings about suffering. What are wrong thought? Thought that condition your fear, your worry, your anxiety, your sorrow, your lamentation, your whatever negative emotion.
That
it's not you are so hateful.
My question may be wrong, I'm so sorry. But then it can come to a stage that when this you are confronted with calamities in life and you can be very still?
Not only very still, you understand these are all not real and not worthwhile to arise.
Wow.
Because you have the wisdom to understand that this is not you. I already told you what. Wait. You didn't listen. I told you what? I told you your thought is like a tool for you to use. You don't know how to use. You go and arise the wrong thought and make yourself miserable. Means you use it to torture yourself, make yourself miserable, and all this I have taught you already. It's not theory. It's when you see it, if you love yourself, what will you do? You will not allow yourself to become tormented by this, is that? If this thought is a knife, when you use it to cut yourself, hurt yourself, harm yourself, and hit out at others, is that the right way to use that knife? Wait. Of course it's not, then you use your thought to make yourself miserable. Is this harming yourself, hurting yourself, and make you miserable? Wait, you didn't really get what I mean. Definitely, because you don't know how to use. You use it to project. It's not a reality. I told you future yet to come, not a reality. Why are you going to worry about it? Why can't you say this is a reality? The Buddha said, this body of mine is of the nature to get sick, get old and die. Why can't you accept this reality? Why must you project? That is very clear, this are not clear. Ayo. You forgot what the five daily contemplation is. This body of yours is of the nature to? You haven't understood. Listen, go through again. When the Buddha said, this body of mine, he knows it's not his, no. Understand or not? That's why his problem is gone. This body made of element go the way of nature is of the nature to get sick, get old, and die. So who say you are sick? Who say you got cancer? Like your fear. It's the fear you. Fear is condition arising, mental state through wrong thought. Understand or not? Not understanding. When you understand, it's just a condition arising consciousness and its content. It will come and go. So if fear is not you, how can disease be you? If physical body is not you, how can you be worried about getting old, getting sick and die? That's why I say you use it, and you don't have to get worried over it. You don't have to worry about it getting old, getting sick and die. It is a vehicle for you to use to come to this world. That's why you never want to understand this. You want to go back to your old way, your old conditioning. Oh, it's very normal. Everybody also fear. Everybody also worry. The Buddha say, suffering need not be if you have noble eightfold path. Noble eightfold path means what? Right view. Not deluded by this anymore. Then, right thought. No more negative thought of all this fear. These are not a reality. You go and project. You use your thought wrongly. As I said, the user of thought is very important. You never learn all this.
Trying to learn.
It's not trying to learn because you have not got it. That's why I say, write it down and understand it. Then you will know how to cultivate to realize it. That thing also, you have not developed a clear understanding. That's why you keep on going back to your old way. But this is your old, mundane, habitual tendency. You always forget the body and mind is not you. Why? Because that self-delusion not rooted out yet. You have not awakened. When you awaken, that's why I can answer you. That's all. If to me, it's very clear. That's why Eric, he see this, he understands. But this is the one that torments him. Make him miserable. On it for him. Just push it, slide it. On it. The one.
Hello.
Okay.
So, to make it simple.
Yes.
Is it like what you are saying that you don't think about anything, but just think it as an empty, and then another thing is to understand the eightfold path. That is one of the way. Then that's where when you develop these two, then that naturally wisdom will come.
Yes,
into your life.
Because this is what heedfulness is all about. But what you mentioned beginning is because you haven't meditated before, that's why you didn't get it right. You say, just don't want to think. Understand that? The normal human being, before they are enlightened, awakened, you cannot stop the thinking one. You know why? Because the Buddha said, because of ignorance, mental activity will arise. Thinking will arise. Why? Because human being wants to know. Understand? When you don't understand what is going on, when you don't know the truth, you want to understand, what do you do? One thing to know, in the school, what did the teacher tell you? Go back and? He very God asked you to learn. Go back and think about it. Understand? Learn means you already know how to learn it, to do it. But you don't know, you have to think. Understand? That's why the conventional teaching is, don't know, go back and think. The Buddha never asked you to think. But if you want to develop knowledge, yes, like scientific knowledge, mathematical knowledge, academic, mechanical thing. That one you have to learn. Use the thought. That one you need thought. That's why it's for learning, for mechanical thing. But this thought is not to store psychological memory. You know why psychological memory? That give rise to emotion of fear, worry, anxiety. This is psychological memory. You keep this for what? This will remind you of all your phobia, your scars of memory and all those things. So why you want to store all these things? Understand? Finish means finish. Understand? That's why Krishnamurti say, your brain need to find order. You are living a life of disorder. Disorder means what? I already explained so many times in the retreat and Thursday class. Disorder means what? Let's say a country is in disorder. Means what? Free for all, cowboy town, no rules one. So what happened? Sure, riot, what? Rape, robbery, and all those things. Because it's not in order. That's why your brain has been raped. And you get yourself entangled in everything. So what is order? Order means proper understanding so that you don't violate the nature's law. Then these things fall into place. Then there is no more negativity. There is only noble effort power. Like, what's your name already? I forgot. Huh? Oh, Wenchuan. I remember the earthquake in China. Wenchuan. Wenchuan. Yeah, okay, sorry. So, what you need to understand is, this thought is for you to use. Understand or not? So the user of thought is very important. So like his case, where he didn't meditate, he said, blank the mind. Don't want to think of anything. Try not to think. That's why now I try to teach you the next step. You cannot try not to think. The reason why you think is because the Buddha said you don't have the spiritual faculty. Where is our Tuchan? The five spiritual faculty. You have to read up this a bit. This is the Buddhist teaching. The five mental hindrance and the five spiritual faculty. We can put it here. You heard of this before, no? The five spiritual faculty. Or you haven't. These are like common sense. The Buddha said. These are your spiritual faculty. It means your mind state. If you have this spiritual faculty, you will understand spiritual teaching. Then your mind will be very calm, very peaceful, very still. Because this will make your mind calm and still. First is faith. Faith is not blind faith. Faith is confident in the Buddha and his teaching. Because he is not only enlightened, he's fully enlightened. Perfect in wisdom and virtue. That's why if you have faith in him, your mind will be very calm, very composed. You got no more doubt. Because his teaching is the answer to everything, to life. Then, virya. The moment you have faith, it will drive you to cultivate. That's why this is your spiritual zeal, or spiritual energy, tenacity, to cultivate. Where you see the importance of this teaching, it can bring about enlightenment. It can free your mind from all suffering, misery. So you will strive with spiritual zeal. Then when you strive, you will develop the meditation. So when you meditate, your mind becomes mindful. Just aware. Don't try to know anything. Just anchor it to your movement. Wherever your movement is, your mind is with it. Just follow. The problem with human beings is you think ahead and you are never mindful of your action. You are never mindful of the environment and a lot of things. You are most of the time preoccupied in your thinking, lost in thought, worry about this, worry about that, planning this, and plan to do a lot of things. So you are too busy planning, worrying. You are too busy worrying, planning, and doing all those things that you need to attend to in life. So when you are preoccupied with your thought process, you are not aware. You are not with the moment. That's why your mind is heedlessly lost in thought, thinking, worrying, have fear, worry, anxiety. You project your thought. You do all this through your memory. You try to remember things. Understand? I'm not talking about right and wrong. That's why you cannot understand. Yeah, to you, it's normal. Everybody do that. So if I don't do that, I'm not a proper human being. No. I'm not a normal human being. I never say you have to do this or don't do this. To me, it's you have to understand what is this. When you understand, you are no longer like normal people. Do you understand? That is what wisdom is all about. That's like silence your mind to see all this. How all these things, when they arise, it torment you and make you miserable. Okay? This is mental suffering. But you cannot see it because when it is tormenting you at the mental level, most people doesn't feel it. Because they thought it's normal, like you. Understand? Because everybody go through this. If I got disease, like you say just now, I will project my thought and there is fear. It's normal. Just to you, it's normal. But let's say I give you another example. Physically. Let's say this is very hot.
The moment I hold, what happened? It's burning me, tormenting you. So what is the right thing to do? Very natural, very normal. Then, I am not holding on to it. It's not tormenting me. It is not causing me any more problem. It's not hurting me anymore. So similarly is this. When I see that these are the things, if I use my thought wrongly, project it, and it will trigger all the fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow, and lamentation, the scars of memory and the phobia, what must you do? Don't hold it there. Ayo, where got how one? The moment you understand that this is terrible, you dare to go near or not? Because you are not sensitive, you are not mindful. When you are mindful, you remember what I tell you or not? What I have told you. You become so sensitive, the slightest movement, that is suffering. And you cannot allow it to arise. You are so sensitive until before you touch, you already know it's burning hot. It's going to burn you and torment you. You still want to go near? Where got how one? When you still don't understand, you will ask the question how. Where it come from, the thought. When you understand, like I give you the example, you dare to go near or not? You don't understand. Because you are not mindful enough. You are not sensitive until that level. Understand or not? When you project your thought, the fear attack you already, intensify here, you are still not aware. Understand or not? You think this is normal. You think it's normal to be miserable. Your thought tell you it's not normal. But yet, whatever you do is creating all this. You understand? Like a lot of people that I ask them, finally, they tell me, yeah, brother, you're right. You know what I asked them? Last night, early day, four noble truths. First noble truth is what? See, standard answer, life is suffering. The Buddha never say life is suffering. The Buddha say, this first noble truth explain to you what suffering is. The prevalence, suffering is everywhere when you don't understand. He never say life is suffering. So what I ask them is very simple. I say, okay, your life, correct or not? Your life. You hold the key to your own life destiny. To be happy or to be miserable is entirely your choice. You can decide to be happy or not to be happy. How do you decide? I surely choose to be happy, correct or not? But then why are you not happy? Why are you still saying this is normal? How can you be seeking? Because you don't understand. That's why your thought keep on saying the opposite thing.
There are a lot of people who don't even think of it. But actually,
we're thinking about it. Your problem is you go and think about it. You will never develop mindfulness to be sensitive about it. Understand or not? To have that sensitivity to see that this is like this one burning you and tormenting you at the mind level. Present moment awareness. When you are with the moment, your thought doesn't move. That's why I say, you don't go and project your thought. Yeah, the future yet to come, not a reality. Why are you going to believe the wrong thought? You understand? Then the past is already gone, not a reality. So what did the Buddha say? The present moment is the only reality in life, and that is the highest in life. I repeated this one so many times. Then what must you do? Within the moment, you must take care. What are you doing every day within the moment? You are too busy. If you are heedless, thinking, planning, and worrying about life. So much so, you are never with the moment to live life. That's why you cannot be aware of life. When you are aware, drinking a cup of tea is meditation. Real meditation. You know why? When you drink a cup of tea mindfully without the thought, you know how peaceful and how beautiful that moment is. that pristine reality of that moment, fully aware, you can taste that tea fully. Understand? No thought means what? No worry, no anxiety, no fear, nothing, stillness, peacefulness, awareness. Just aware, be with the moment, to experience the tranquility, the stillness, the joy, and the sensitivity of the mind to be fully aware of the taste and everything. That is really living life. Means to experience the moment fully. But when your thought arise, what happens? Means you are too busy worrying, planning, and doing all those funny things. Because you are not with the moment. So that's why you are too busy thinking, planning, and worrying about life. So much so, you never leave. You are never aware. So meditation is to be aware. Not theory, not knowledge. I have told you many times. Then the other thing that I told them is, after the first noble truth, so I say, what must you do? If you choose to be happy, what must you do? Huh? You must follow the advice of the Buddha, isn't it? To avoid all evil, do good, and purify your mind. That's how the teaching come about. You keep your precept. Then you train your mind to be mindful, to be aware, so that you are capable of keeping your precept. Then you have to understand what constitutes the three evil roots that make you evil and condition the wrong thought, wrong speech, and wrong action. Then you must also understand what constitutes right view, leading to right thought, right speech, right action. These are the things you have to understand first before you put it into practice.
For example, sitting for an exam, it's going to be very hard to have at the moment all the time.
That's why I say, you never want to listen attentively to what I say and write it down and just do that first. You are interested in the thought telling you and ask questions. No? When you are asking questions, like I told the Penang girl, you are not listening. Do you understand? This one is from the thought, again and again. No, because what is happening is, if you don't listen, you are not doing. Because just now, what happened is, as I explained, you are not listening. You think you know, because repeated so many times. Right? So you think you know. But you didn't know. That's why your question come out. What did you ask me just now? That's why I say you never listen. I say you learn this mindfulness to be with the moment, not for you to go and do all this. This is living, mechanical. You silence your mind to observe all this, to awaken, to develop the wisdom. This part you never want to listen. This part you never understood. And you never do this, that's why the question keep on coming. Understand? Let Suyan explain to you easier. That's why I say you didn't get it. Maybe Suyan didn't explain clearly enough. Because Suyan one more difficult to understand actually. Because that one is the meditative state when you don't have the word. It's just like the pristine beauty and everything, the nature just feel it. And it's so overwhelming, the word is. Understand now? You never understand. That's why I say you listen. When I say you train your mind to be mindful, to be aware, to be with the moment, it's not for you to do work. Understand or not? Because you haven't stabilized it. When you stabilize it, then it can become a part of you. Then, like me, I can become normal again. That one is the third stage of seeing. Kan san yu si san. The second stage also you haven't do. Train your mind to be aware, to be with the moment, to observe all this using the silent mind. Have you done it? Not learning, because you are using thought and knowledge to understand. You never develop the daily mindfulness. And when you develop the daily and you saw it happening, you realize it, the word is, you realize it, it's not knowledge, not I know, then you become totally different. This stage will bring about great transformation. That's why you need to be mindful, to be sensitive, to feel them. That's why I say anger arise, stay with it, be with it. Where is it? Relax into every moment, every mind state that arises. Then silence the mind to be aware. Then the moment you are without thought, you already aware. The other one, I rub it off already. Be with it. Aware. So when anger arises, when the emotion is there, if you stay with it and maintain awareness, what happens? That's what I see. When the fear arises, stay with it. Be aware. Go and lie down and meditate and stay. What happened? What happened to the fear and the fear? Oh, sorry, the anger, the anger and the fear. What happened? If you don't do anything, you just aware. What happened? You cannot be angry for your whole life. Eh? Your anger will disappear sooner or later. Eh? Even without meditation, it will be gone. Eh? Then your habit return to normal. Yeah. But what I'm telling you to do is, when it happens, when this one is pounding, pip-pip-pop-po and all those things, go and meditate. Then you will realize, what the Buddha say is correct. I stay with it, just aware, I don't think about it anymore, I don't give it any more thought energy, that anger cannot continue, understand or not? Then it will dissipate, like a flower. The very flowering of thought is the very ending of that thought, of that emotion. So that fear, the anger, they will all cease. Then this mind return to its original state, which is stillness, awareness. Nothing.
There was one stage I was angry.
But you never go in and do it. And he said, I was meditating. I did, I was meditating. But this one, it means you are totally not aware, understand? You are not with it. You allow that thing to manifest and intensify. And yet you say, I'm meditating. No, because if you continue not to listen attentively and understand, that thought will continue to ask that question. That's why I listen. I say, listen, go back and write it down and understand. You train your mind to be mindful, then stabilize it to be ever mindful, to meditate, to cultivate Noble Eightfold Path, to see all this teaching, the Four Noble Truths that the Buddha tells you. Means when suffering arises, silence your mind and find out what is the cause of suffering. Why did this suffering arise? Why did fear arise? How did phobia arise? How did the scars of memory condition me to recall all this and project my thought? When you understand the cause, you will know how to reverse it, isn't it? Yeah, I got wrong view. I never trained my mind to be aware, to be mindful, to be sensitive of all this. When I am sensitive, the moment they arise, I feel it, I stay with it, then it ceases. Then the next time I know, this is tormenting me every time. So the next time, before it can even move or stir, you straight away aware this is wrong thought. My life, I cannot allow this thing to happen. Like the Buddha said, the three evil root, greed, hatred, and delusion, they are root of all evil, make you evil. So when you are aware, you have to root it out. Understand? The five ways to abandon it. How do you abandon it? The five ways. And the third way is what I'm telling you, teaching you. Silence your mind, just aware. The first two ways is thought-based. Think of the direct opposite wholesome thought so that you can cut it off. Then the second way, think of the danger of holding on to that wrong thought. That's why you will abandon it, isn't it? Because these are evil root. Root of all evil. Make me evil. Cause my karmic downfall. I will never allow it to happen. Because I undertake the training rule not to do all this. Not to arise. Last Thursday, remember, thought is karmic. Your gender also will change. You are not careful. So all this is for you to understand. So when you understand and you develop the mindfulness, stay with it, aware, become sensitive, then all these problems, no more. Because when you see in the meditation, when you experience it, then you realize these are all, like the Buddha said, impermanent. They come and they go. Condition arising, causal phenomenon. And they only cause suffering. Then why do I hold on to all this? Then what is Noble Eightfold Path? Right thought. He never said, train your mind to have wrong thought. Did the Buddha say wrong thought? No. Right view leading to right thought. Then why are you creating all this? It's just like those people, the first noble true one. I say, after you understand this, what must you do? He say, brother, I don't want to suffer anymore. I say, very good. Don't want to suffer anymore. Everybody will tell me. Then what must you do? They're supposed to cultivate all this, but they don't know. Then after a few weeks, or the next month, the Dhamma talk come and tell me again. But you cannot. I don't know why. I don't want to suffer, no. But this suffering keep on coming. Means they are continuously heedless. They prefer the five mental hindrances. They never want to cultivate spiritual faculty. That's why you don't have this sadha virya to cultivate sati or mindfulness, which is awareness before the knowing. This one, cultivate. If you cannot develop the stability of daily mindfulness, you cannot see all this. You cannot be sensitive. You cannot understand the Buddha's teaching. But these are spiritual faculty that can make you understand the teaching. And when you are mindful, when you stabilize it, it becomes ever mindful. The stability of it is samadhi. Then it is collected and unwavering. Then you can see things as they are, understand? Because this mind doesn't stir anymore. When you see something, hear something, it doesn't panic anymore. It doesn't project anymore. It is calm, peaceful, collected and unwavering. That's why it can see things as they are, like a baby. Then it can be very observant, understand? And very sensitive. That's why that mindfulness will allow you to see. The moment the thought arises and project, fear arises, worry arises. And you have been doing this for so long. Mentally you suffer, and yet you don't know. You know, when I cultivate during the early day, the slightest movement, my nature aware, cannot move, cannot arise. Mindfulness is so powerful. But it's so sensitive. I can feel all of the whatever movement. And because it is so sensitive, the mind cannot just allow it to be, to go back to the old way. That's why it's like, the moment you wake up, you won't go and touch this thing anymore. Understand now? The hot and burning, tormenting you. Even like drugs. After you kena kau-kau already, yeah, sent to jail and everything, then go for rehabilitation. You know what the drug addict say? Cannot kick. Go back again after a while. Because that craving, that desire. Yet they don't see the danger. Short memory. Yet they are not mindful. They are not aware. Understand? And they can just allow their life to go that way. Means they don't see the importance of this teaching. When you are sensitive, when you are aware, you become totally different. It's not the thought anymore. Yes, I say it's not knowledge, it's not memory. As I train these two, sati and samadhi, the daily mindfulness, you have to develop it. The form of meditation is to train your mind to be aware, then stabilize it. That's why you go back, do the bowing, do the four posture, then aware and mindful of every action, every movement in the present moment. Then you realize the thought all cease. Slowly, starting from less thought, then finally no thought. How come throughout the day you're just aware? And that is just the first foundation, though. Mindfulness of kaya, no?
Kayanupassana. Then after that, you can be mindful of kaya, means your mindfulness stabilizes. Then you can be mindful of the feeling that arises. Then after that, you can zero in on the content of consciousness. And then on Dhamma. Dhamma means you see your five mental hindrances. You see your five aggregate form and mind. You see how they arise and pass away. Then the six internal sense bases, six external sense bases, you are mindful. Then you will come to understand how all this arise and how all this cease. That's how you develop the wisdom. That is the fourth way. Trace the origination factor, the Buddha said. It comes through your senses, he said. The sense data upon contact with mind, consciousness arises. This is what the third category of mindfulness of the Dhamma is all about. Mindful of the six internal sense bases and six external. Then when you see it arising, conditioning you into that thing, then you realize, no wonder you got anger, you got fear. But the origination factor is, when consciousness arises, let's say you saw something through your seeing consciousness, or something you hear you don't like, then you stir, you get angry. Then that person you saw, you don't like. Then you already know, this is how all this evil root come to be. This is how the five mental hindrances come to be, like and dislike. Fear, worry, anxiety, restlessness of mind, doubt, sensual desire, and ill will. So, the Buddha says, trace the origination factor. Then you will come to know how the unarisen mental hindrance comes to be. How all this fighting that make you heedless hinder you from entering the meditative state of inner peace, inner calmness, and inner awareness come to be. So when you are aware, what happens? You have to develop the wisdom to reverse it, understand? So the Buddha said, after you are aware how you become like that, you have to retrospectively reverse it. How did you stir your mind and develop the like and dislike? The fear and the worry, the anxiety. Where you project your thoughts. So all this when you see, you come to know how this mental hindrance come to be. Then what must you do? You have to reflect, contemplate. The next time I see or I hear or I think, recall to memory, which is this, I will not do the same thing. Means I will not stir my mind. I will not create mental hindrance. How to do it? Like your question. You can only do it when you have the wisdom, when you see how all this torment you. And when you are very sensitive, you cannot. Because the moment you are aware, this one cannot move. It cannot move. So when you start to understand, then all this, you realize you don't have to fight it or suppress it. The moment the five spiritual faculty is there, all these five disappear. Then when you see anything, yeah, because of this wisdom, it cannot stir anymore. It does not react like before. So this is what the Buddha said, when you have sati and samadhi, you can see things as they are. Means see truth, see the reality. You don't see things according to what your memory tells you, your views, your opinion, your conditioning. That's like acting according to memory, it's not acting at all. So when you see things as they are, then you realize, hey, he is just the way he is. Understand? Means deluded people do deluded things, angry people say angry things, selfish people do selfish things. Then when I can accept him for what he is, my mind doesn't stir anymore. Understand now? There is peace. There is understanding. There is tranquility of mind, stillness of mind. There is awareness. There is just observing the movement, the form and mind. No reality. Then this hindrance cannot come out. You understand? And that's how you reverse it. Through right view, through wisdom, panya, through seeing things as they are. So easy, eh? Because you never try, you never do, you never train your mind. Luckily you ask. You are not the only one, because there are a lot dependent on you. If you don't ask, they also never learn.
Yeah. Sadhu. Yeah, they always assume, like you say, yeah, Brother, I know when you were explaining all this, I know. I say, you did know. Yeah, all this are knowledge. You cannot even remember what I tell you. You're supposed to train your mind to be ever mindful and use it to cultivate Noble Eightfold Path. You never do that? You go and arise another thought and ask me another question. That's why I say, don't try to know. The most dangerous person in this world, Krishnamurti says, is the one who says, I know. The problem is, the seeker is the sick. You know what does that mean or not? I better write it down. So this one put capital letter. The seeker is the, not S-I-C-K. Yeah. You understand or? You are seeking for what? Yeah la, wisdom la, enlightenment la. Correct or? Who is seeking? Ayo, you already think you know. That's your problem. Then you never reflect and contemplate. I ask you just a simple question. Who are you? Because you are calling yourself the seeker, isn't it? Why did Krishnamurti say the seeker is the sick? That's why you cannot find. You are the seeker. You go everywhere to look for truth. You go to Buddhism. You go to university. You go everywhere. But you never know you are seeking inside you, your true mind, your true nature, to awaken to all this. That's why the seeker is your mindfulness, which is seeking the true mind. You understand? This is mindfulness, seeking the true mind. So this seeker is not a human being. No, this is mindfulness, this is awareness, silent mind. To seek that silent mind, that nature, the true mind. This is what meditation, this is what I tell you. The mindfulness has to be developed, then use it to realize the true mind. So that's why Krishnamurti said, the seeker is the sick. And you somehow every day go outside and look for truth, search for truth. Using your thought, using knowledge. Brother Teo, I know, I'm trying to understand it. That word, not so bad, no, trying to understand it. I know, finish already. So, slowly, yeah? It's good. Because these are not overnight on you. Your past is not strong in this. Your past is strong in knowledge. And so, for those who had their past, very fast. You look at Eric. You think he learned the Dhamma. You think he meditated. He just listened because he... That's why I say you suffer not now. Yeah, he suffered now. That's why he can understand very fast. So you make yourself miserable. Yeah, you're not miserable right now. You home here in Hokkien. They say you home here. So you, as a form and mind, sick, you should die on. Yeah, this one cannot find. Understand? Your instrument is wrong. You use the mundane mind to seek. Thought-based meditation. How can mundane mind realize something that is beyond thought, beyond mind? Yeah, this teaching is beyond thought, beyond mind. You have to be mindful, to be aware. You understand? That is what sati is all about. That's why the Buddha, before he died, he says, strike on with... he never says, strike on to learn. Understand? He said, strive on to train your mind to be heedful. Means train your mind to be ever mindful. Then use it to cultivate Noble Eightfold Path. Noble Eightfold Path got no wrong thought. Only got right view and right thought. Understand? Right view lead to right thought because the user of thought have right view, it will become right thought. If you have not awakened with the mindfulness to see all this and understand through the wisdom, how can you have right view? Cannot. You can only have right view when your silent mind awakens, when you have that sensitivity. Then you realize life is so simple, like what the Buddha say. No need to be so complicated. Understand? You know, a lot of people used to tell me, but the Tio, we not like you lah. Your nature, you like that lah. You think I started off like that lah. I also started like most of you. Ordinary wording. Understand? You cannot. That one comes from the thought. Understand? Because the thought is unwilling to die. You know why the thought unwilling to die? Yeah? If the thought die, what happened to you? Because this thought is egoic, understand? Do you want to die? You sure don't want to die. The thought also same. So what the thought do if he don't want to die? He will lie to you. He will tell you all those lies, understand? That's why you become deluded, heedless. He said, hey, precious body, you know, how can you let it die? You understand? That's why the self-delusion come out, attached. Hey, the fellow did this to you, you know. That's why through memory you hold on to the anger, the crunch, and all those things. Then he said, hey, your body got cancer, you know, or you have this problem, you know, or you project your thought and worry. Will you believe the thought? Bhayankati say what? Without the thought, you are? Without the thought, you are peaceful, isn't it? You are free, isn't it? Then why when the wrong thought comes, you become miserable? But you believe this thought. You think your thought is your friend. Your thought is never your friend. Your thought is a tool that comes from the karmic nature conditioned for you to use. It's not your good friend. Without wisdom, thought is your enemy. Thought is there all out to deceive you and delude you and trap you. We better stop. Oh, almost 10 minutes already. Okay? Let us rejoice. Sadhu. 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 Okay, let us share merits with all the beings. Starting with the demons. Akka satta cha bhumata deva naga mahindika punyang tang anumoditva cirang rakantu loka sasana ita wata cha amehi sampadan punya sampadan sabbe deva anumodantu sabba sampati siddhiya idang me nyatinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo idang me nyatinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo idang me nyatinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo imina punyang kamena mame bala samagamo satang samagamo hotu Yawa Nivana Patiya Sadhu Sadhu Sadhu. Okay, pay respect mindfully. Yeah? The Lord Buddha, then we end. So yeah, get some books for Wen Quan.
also for the puja offering.
Part one. Part one. Part one.